Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 493rd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And finally, we're brought to you by the SGPN merch store, 15% off everything when you use promo code PLAYOFFS.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 493 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's going out to our friends at the Hockey Gambling Podcast who just can't keep my name out of their mouths, which is fine. So this goes out to all the boys at the Hockey Gambling Podcast. Make sure you listen to their, don't go in their Discord though, because it's chaos in the hockey channel. And they brought it over to our channel and caused lots of trouble on the weekend, those troublemaking hockey players. Thanks for coming to the show. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. We are covering the biggest promotion in the world. I should get the info up on my screen, shouldn't I? You might think, oh, the UFC has an event this week. No, we're talking an even bigger than the UFC. Dana White wishes his promotion could be this big. Of course, we're talking about one fighting championship, of course. We're going to cover that. It's happening this weekend, so we're going to get you that. And then the UFC, don't worry, that little piddly Mickey Mouse promotion, the UFC is back next week. Let's bring in the man who will help us break down this fight card. This is one of his favorite promotions, right up there with Bellator. It's one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I usually skip this one, but I will tell you, this one both has like very recognizable names to the MMA community, had odds readily available, and was like easy enough for me to talk about that I didn't feel like I had to like do a whole bunch of work. So yeah,
lazy.
Bring on one FC. I will also tell you, if you're looking for something to watch this weekend, you know, obviously we did LFA yesterday rather. Go back and listen to that because that's a great one. There's some really great spots, I think, in LFA. Make sure you watch that when it comes on. This one's on Sunday. Depending on what streaming services you own or not, may or may not be easy to watch. But I will tell you, Cage Titans has got another one coming Saturday as well. And they're always fun to watch. And depending on what betting it, we're not sponsored by a betting app right now, right?
We're not. So go right ahead.
Okay, cool. So BetMGM always has lines on Cage Titans as well. So hop on there and check out what they got going on too.
Gummy's all about the free advertising for all these companies.
Always, free, right? Plugs.
Free plugs. Lest you forget, Octagon as well is going down this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. We got an Octagon episode, right? That came out Sunday.
Friday show? Saturday. I think it was Saturday, right?
I think everything is Saturday with the exception of one, which is Sunday.
Yeah, or Saturday night, depending. 3 a.m. Saturday night / Sunday morning is what we're covering. That would be 1-1-165. That's not confusing at all, is it?
No.
The word one and then the number 165.
They seem to have gotten rid of the FC too. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, that's right.
It used to be one FC. Am I wrong?
It was one FC and then it, yeah, no, they definitely changed to one championship. And now it's just one. Like the official name is one championship. And I guess they don't call their things one championship. They just call their things one, apparently.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what to do with them.
Oh, speaking of this, Sherdog just posted a story. One championship study reveals significant growth in the U.S. market. It sounds like a press release.
You mean because they put on three shows in the U.S. Now there's significant growth there. Isn't that a wild concept? There's a man, dude. I love to rag on Sherdog. You know, I love to rag on their scorecards because whoever judges their fights over there does probably the worst job out of any website that exists. Right up there with MMA Mania. Give a shout out to both of those guys and their scorecards on MMA decisions because they are the dissenting decisions every time. But also, I would just say, like, they're just publishing people's press releases now. Yep. Like, they no shame at all. Just gonna, oh, thanks. I get all those press releases, by the way. They go right to my spam box most of the time. And when they make it past my spam box, I sometimes read them real quick before I delete them, but I certainly do not find a website to publish them on.
Yeah, no, it's a Singapore based promotion partner with a consumer research company, GWI. So yeah, of course. So of course you're going to get good stuff. And they've grown their audience in the US by 46% over the
after not having any shows in the US. Exactly. And they had some, and now they have more people in the US who watch them.
Yeah. Well, we always do this, don't we? We rag on what we're going to cover.
There's some good fights, though. So let's talk about that.
I know. It's true. No, one is I should watch it more often than I do. Maybe I will now. And
are you up
and another is PFL
often.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's on Amazon. You can watch whenever, right?
I don't know.
PFL has scrapped his women's featherweight division, replacing it with women's flyweight. I wonder why they did that, Gumby.
Yeah, it's weird. That's the timing on that one does seem odd.
Yeah, it is odd. All right. We talked about that yesterday, though. We talked about Kayla Harrison going to the UFC, and we talked about LFA. That was all in yesterday's episode. Today, we're sticking with one. Now, this is I know Gumby's not a fan of when they do this, but the one is big on they cover all the arts, all the martial arts. They mix them all together. So we got some kickboxing, we got some grappling, we got some custom rules, we got some MMA. Gumby's not a fan of any of that. He just wants strictly MMA fights, right, Gumby?
I'm not saying you can't do that. It's just going to make me way less likely to watch. And this is coming from a dude who does jiu-jitsu. You know, I've been doing jiu-jitsu for 15 years at this point. And
you must have a black belt then.
I do not. Thank you for that knock. Thank you for that knock. I will say, though, jiu-jitsu is not fun to watch, particularly when you put like weird mismatches on like they put on. You know, it's always like Mikey Musumeci versus like a 46-year-old man with bad bones. And you're like, cool, I can't wait to watch him break every single thing in that guy's knee. Like, yeah, cool.
I never want to be described as having bad bones.
The guys he's fought have bad bones now. They didn't before. I will give you that. It's always like Ty Rotolo versus you know, some guy they found in a back alley somewhere or like a good MMA fighter, but in a jiu-jitsu's rules match. So like they're not putting on anything competitive. I'm sure their kickboxing's fun, but I prefer MMA over kickboxing. So I basically get MMA intermissions. Not for me.
Yeah. And for the record, Gumby is way tougher than me, despite me making fun of him. Some fool in the Discord was like trying to, I remember a while ago, was trying to say,
that was like years ago.
Yeah. Like, no, I would not beat him in a fight.
They lined the fight at you -170 or something like that.
Because
like,
I'm big. Well, Gumby's pretty big too. And Gumby actually knows what he's doing. So that's a difference. And Gumby's 15 years younger than me as well. That helps. Speaking of bad bones. But a lot of people are fans, like a lot of people in the Discord. This is a selling point. This is a selling point for them.
They like all the different mixture of the arts,
which is cool. But we're just not going to break it down here because we are not experts in that. I think you can get odds for all these fights though.
Betway right now has them all. Whether it's, you know, kickboxing, mixed rules, you know, special rules, and anything like that. They got odds for them all. So,
yeah. And now that Gumby's crapped all over it. There's two jiu-jitsu specialists who we're going to actually break down in this this episode.
They're fun to watch an MMA fight when somebody can punch him in the head. Somebody can punch him in the head, sign me up for it.
You want a fight where you get punched in the head? Then you just
I don't want that. Everyone, if somebody can.
Everyone wants to fight.
If somebody can punch them in the head, sign me up to watch it.
Gotcha. All right. just to clarify, Gumby does not want to be punched in the head. In short, queens are okay. We're getting cleared up now.
That was last episode, by the way.
I know. That was yesterday. I still remember yesterday, Gumby. We were wearing the same clothes.
Yeah, we definitely didn't tape them back to back.
No. That's a funny joke of ours, isn't it? All right. Let's tell you about, actually, it's probably not funny, but it's a joke of ours nonetheless. We're going to tell you about Underdog, and then we're going to get into this fight card here. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, college football, MMA. They got it all over. Tennis, they have it all there. Gumby's not a fan of tennis. Jong and I tried to scold him for that, but I get it. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You can win 100 times with some spicy plays. Gumby, do you have a play, spicy or mild?
Yeah, you should probably get this by Thursday night in your ear. If you are, I'll take the higher than on Nikola Vucevic's rebounds. I think they got him listed at 12.5, and he just went for 17 on Jeff Fox's Phoenix Suns last game. Yep. So I think getting 13 against the Lakers on Thursday is probably doable. So give me Vucevic's higher than on his rebounds.
That was such a great game. That was a wild night in the NBA, let me tell you. Yep. But the Suns game was a very fun game. So watch along. Maybe it'll be a fun game again with the Bulls. Watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. Now the important part, when you sign up with the promo code MMASGPN, MMASGPN, that way we get credit for it, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. So win-win. We win, you win. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Let's get into this one 165. Super Leg versus Takeru, even though we're not covering that fight, because that is kickboxing main event. It's going down Sunday/Saturday, depending on what part of the world you are. We'll give you East Coast times as per usual, Eastern time zone. Sunday, 3 a.m. Eastern, so Saturday night, Sunday morning. It says it's internet pay-per-view, but it's on Amazon, right?
I think only their U.S.-based ones are on Amazon.
Oh, really? Okay.
Internet or maybe their kickboxing events? I don't
see, know. That's a problem. That's a problem right there. We should know these things and we don't, which that's on you, one. That's not on us. It's in the Ariake Arena in Tokyo. How is the Ariake Arena, Gumby?
Never been to Tokyo.
It's in a cage. 6 MMA belts, 3 kickboxing belts, a grappling belt. So we got 10 belts. We're going to tell you about the MMA ones because that is our specialty. We are the MMA Gambling Podcast. We're going to start off with the opener. 3 5-minute rounds at flyweight. Hiroba Manao Minawa, from Japan versus a Gustavo Bolart, who is from Cuba, Cuban fighter. All right. Bolart. I'm probably saying his name wrong. Is it Bolart?
I think it's Bolart. Yeah. I mean, he's right. Cuban. Bolart. You pretty much just say it as it looks.
All right, cool. Bolart, El Gladiator. I don't know what that translates to, but who knows, right?
I think it's The Gladiator.
Impossibly. He's 11-4 with one knockout. He owes us some finishes. Damn it. He's been knocked out twice. 3-3 in one championship. However, he's won three straight fights. However, he lost three straight before that. Has missed weight before. Keep that in mind. Okay, I'm going with the weight class. Speaking of weight, we're going with the weight classes on Tapology. One, that's another confusing thing. One likes to be confusing with their weight classes as well, with the hydration rules and weight classes and what the fighters can actually weigh in at. So I don't really know what these guys are actually going to weigh in at, but it's saying it's at flyweight. So, and he has missed weight in one before. So that's something to keep in mind there. He's not fought since October 2021. He's not lost since November 2019. He was a Pan Am gold medalist in wrestling. So he's very high level amateur wrestler, minus 110. We almost have a pick 'em to kick things off. Manoa, 13-4, three knockouts, eight submissions, never been finished in a fight. He owes us some finishes. Both these guys owe us some finishes. 2-2 in one championship. He's lost two straight. Before that, he won six straight. He's not won a fight since March of 2021. He's not used to fight down at Adam weight. No, it's not Adam weight. That would be a bit too much. Straw weight will make it, 115. Was a regional champion, 12 years younger than Bolart. 4 inches taller, 6 inches of reach on him. So all those numbers in strongly in his favor, minus 125.
Yeah. Do you know why he's 4 inches taller than him?
Oh, yes. This is the short king, Bolart.
Bolart is 4'11".
Yes. That's, Gumby does not like short kings.
It's very short. But I'm going to go with the underdog out of the gate here. Whoa. The short king. Yeah.
Gumby rides with a short king.
I will just tell you his wrestling's really good. I mean, like gold medalist at the Pan Ams and Greco-Roman. Yeah. Greco-Roman, obviously, it's a slightly different kind of wrestling than you usually see in MMA because it's upper body attacks typically. And I've seen him use those in MMA, but I've also seen him go to the double. He seemingly has figured out how to blend things together, especially since those losses, right? Like when he came over to 1FC, because he used to fight for, was it Titan? I think he used to fight for Titan.
Yeah, I think so.
And when he was there, he was just steamrolling people, a lot of with the Greco-Roman stuff. He came over to one, had a little bit of trouble with the takedowns, struggled here and there. Seems to have now blended it all together. His striking looks a little bit better now too. And if you look at Minowa has, you mentioned two losses. It is two very high level opposition. One of them was to Jared Brooks, who again, just, I mean, I think maybe possibly the best flyweight in the world. And you don't hear me saying that about people who aren't in the UFC very often. I think Jared Brooks might be the best flyweight in the world. And the other one was to Bokang Masayune, who we're going to talk about in their next fight. Both of those guys, extremely physical, very physically strong. And Minowa had issues with both of their strength, especially in the clinch. So if you're telling me he had trouble with two big, strong guys in the clinch and we're giving him a big, strong guy who's excellent in the clinch, and maybe big is the wrong word, a strong guy in the clinch, I think Bolart can give him the same kind of troubles as Brooks and Masayane did. So I'm going to go with Bolart here as a slight dog.
But is Bolart the king of the monkeys like Jared Brooks is?
He is not. He's the monkey god. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, really? Okay. Who's the monkey king then?
That's Jordan Levitt.
Right. Okay. And who's the lizard king, Gumby?
The lizard king. Robert California is the lizard king.
Jim Morrison is the lizard king, Gumby.
Yeah. Well,
have you heard of the doors before, Gumby?
Well, you don't get my reference because that person is also the lizard king.
What was the name again?
Robert California.
Oh, it's from one of your shows that you want me to watch.
Somebody probably out there has got the reference. Go ahead and put it in the comments. In Sunday's episode will be dedicated to you. First person. Well,
you don't know who Jim Morrison is, though.
First person to put where Robert California says I'm the effing lizard king in an episode.
Okay, I'm not going to guess because there's limited number of shows that you mention a lot. And
that's okay. Somebody will put it in the comments. You'll find out later.
Someone will put it in the comments. All right. I already did the first ad read. So let's move on, shall we? Bokang Masayane. Is that how you said it?
Messanyane.
We're sticking with flyweight, by the way. He is from South Africa, and he will be fighting Kyoto Yamakita from Japan. 3 5-minute rounds at flyweight. Yamakita 8-0, one knockout, two submissions, 1-0 in one championship. The biggest promotion in the world. I can't do that every time. I'll just do it this one time. Used to fight down at strawweight. Was a regional champion. Was also a wrestling champion and a BJJ champion. 2 years younger than Masayane. +130. Masayane, little giant. We had a mini man yesterday. Now we have a little giant. He's 9-1. One knockout, one submission. And he's been submitted once. He owes us finishes. 3-1 in one championship. Won his last fight. Used to fight up at bantamweight. -175.
I'm going to go with Bokang Masanyane. I think, you know, I mentioned in the last fight, I really do like his physicality. I think if you are trying to put a word or an adjective to exactly how he fights, he's spazzy. He's just kind of like the dude's a ball of energy, you know, spinning heel kicks, high angle takedowns, you know, sprinting across the cage to close distance. Like he's just like a ball of energy. That being said, he's flyweight, so he doesn't really tire out. And his only real loss is to Jared Brooks, the aforementioned Jared Brooks, popping up again.
God of the monkeys.
Yeah. And I think Masanyane is going to have, you know, you mentioned Yamakita has got some wrestling background, but I don't think the physicality is going to favor him at all. I like Masanyane if it gets in the clinch. I also think he's one of those guys who, even when like a more technical wrestler winds up in a good position on him, he counters by just being like, not that he's not technical, but just by being like very freaking strong. And he's explosive. You know, his head kick knockout, I'm trying to remember who he scored it on, but it was like 3 or 4 fights ago. He scored a head kick knockout that was one of the more devastating things I've seen in like 36 seconds. He's got big power despite not having a ton of finishes, because a lot of times he uses that physicality to wear people down and wind up in top game. But, like, you know, even if Yamakita decides he doesn't want to get in all of these scrambles, I think he's going to be outmatched on the feet, particularly with the counters. So, yeah, give me Masanyane, -200. Not a bad number either.
All right, Masanyane. No, I got you even better number, -175. How's that? Oh,
that's down from when I checked this morning.
Yeah, even better, right? Even better. All right, we're moving to a bantamweight fight. Danny Kingad from the Philippines. He will be fighting against Yuya Wakamatsu from Japan. 3 5-minute rounds at a bantam weight. Wakamatsu, little piranha. We got another little guy here, Gumby.
How did Ballard not have like a little guy name?
Exactly. Though? I was just going to say that. The true little man here doesn't have any cool nicknames. He's a gladiator. All right. Little piranha. Wakamatsu, 16-6, 12 knockouts. He's got some power, this piranha. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. He owes his rounds. 6-4 in one championship. 1-2 over his last 3. 6-2 over his last 8. That sounds a lot better. Won his last fight via TKO. December 2021 was his last loss. Used fight at flyweight, so down weight class. He's got inch height, 3 inches reach on Kingad. +163. Kingad the King is the nickname. Fitting. 15-3. One knockout, two submissions. He's been submitted once. 11-3 in one championship, so he's fought at a high level, supposedly. Loss, win over his last 4. Has not lost a fight since December of 2021. 2014 was his pro MMA debut. He was a kickboxing medalist. He's at -225.
Do you know why he might be -225 in this fight, Jeff?
This is a rematch and I missed
it. Rematch. Yeah, these guys already fought one time. It was 5 years ago, to be fair. But in that fight, you know, I think they were both 23 at the time. When they did fight, largely it looked like they were pretty much the same fighter on the feet. Maybe Kingad was just a touch faster than Wakamatsu. But the big difference was that just like Kingad had wrestling to go with it. He took his back a couple of times. He took him down a couple of times. So anytime that striking didn't favor him for a brief moment, he had now. And have they changed a little bit since then? Yeah, I mean, like they both evolved on the feet, but I don't think the stylistic matchup has changed very much. I think both of them still talented strikers, probably both unlikely to knock the other one out. It'll probably be a back and forth fight on the feet. And anytime Kingad wants to mix it up, he's got that extra piece that is going to wind up winning him a decision, whereas Wakamatsu doesn't have that. So yeah, I'm going to go with Kingad here. I think I think, you know, that first fight, you're going to see a lot of the same things replicated.
All right. King God is the pick. No dogs yet, but that's not to say that's not true.
I got Ballart. Ballart. Slight dog.
Yes. Very slight dog. All right. We're going to tell you about Cut now before we make you smart picks. Cut, K-U-T-T. That's how they spell it. And you may ask yourself, what is Cut? Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And it's tons of fun. They have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for dollars. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. The rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends and or other users. Reminder, Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and legal in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. All right, Hall of Fame bets. Win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool. Get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. And with all the money you win, go over to our merch store, SGPN Merch Store, 15% off everything in the store now until the end of the month. Promo code PLAYOFFS. Gumby and I are competing against all the other shows for a bonus. So go buy that MMA gambling podcast gear. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store/playoffs is your code. We got lots of good gear, MMA gear in there with our funny expressions that we say. All right. Shall we drop down to strawweights? We shall. Itsuki Hirata versus Ayaka Miura, both from Japan, 3 5-minute rounds, female strawweight fight. Miura is a zombie. She's 12-5 with 8 submissions. She's been knocked out 3 times, 5-3 in one championship. She's won 1 of her last 3 and 2 of her last 5. Won her last fight via submission. Used to fight at flyweight. 2014 pro MMA debut. 1-1 as a pro grappler. 1-0 as a shoot boxer. An inch of reach on Hirata, plus 125. Hirata, Android 18 is her nickname, Gumby. Do you know what that is?
I want to say it's like an anime.
Yes. It's just like Ben 10. So there you go. Yesterday's show, callback Ben 10. Are you an anime nerd, Gumby?
I'm not.
Okay, good. Oh, actually, we may have some anime nerds listening, so I won't say good. Especially, not surprising.
Yeah, yeah. It's not my cup of tea, but you know.
But hey,
you guys get on what you like.
To each his own, or chacun son goût, as the French would say, Gumby. That's one of the French expressions I know. Okay, important one. Hirata is 6-2, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. She owes us some finishes. All of her fights are taking place in one championship. Loss, win, loss of her last 3. Has missed weight twice, so keep that in mind. Used to fight down a weight class at atomweight. 9 years younger than Miura, minus 175.
So I went back and I watched Hirata's fight with Sohiam. Because I was like, mm-hmm. You know, she's fought Sohiam. That's a pretty good measuring stick. And first of all, I really do love the way that she like feints, particularly using her shoulders, in the way that she tried to draw strikes out, because she got reactions out of Sohiam all the time, which on your feet is kind of hard to do because Sohiam is a really good striker. The problem is she didn't do anything with it. Her lack of aggression kind of cost her repeatedly in that fight. And then when she didn't like what was happening on the feet, when Sohiam finally decided, like, I don't care if she faints anymore. She's not throwing behind it anyway, so I might as well just tag her a bunch of times. She shot these takedowns, and let me tell you something. They were bad. Sohiam, not, you know, like, we don't think about Sohiam as being, like, a particularly good grappler, right? Like, she was a kickboxer. That's what we loved watching. You know, if you did enjoy her short stint in the UFC, or, you know, if you've watched any of her atomweight fights in one or any other promotion, like, Sohiam's a lot of fun to watch. And it's not because she's a good grappler. And Hirata could just not do anything with it. And she kept trying. And as a result, like, you know, it sort of makes me rate her grappling really low. And The thing about Murata is, or Miura.
I guess, yes.
Yeah, Miura. The thing about Miura is that she has like very strong convictions when she grapples, and sometimes she puts herself in like a weird position in terms of grappling. Like she's, I watched her do a head and arm throw and just wind up in like the weirdest position for like the next 3 minutes one time.
That's
and
women's like, MMA for you.
They love head those and head throws. And arm throws. I do not know what it is. But she threw one of those and she wound up in like a weird position for a while. But at the end of the day, like, I don't think Hirota is going to be the type of person to take advantage of that. And I think Miura is going to get her down enough times. And her sub skills are pretty good. I don't know that she would look good enough on the feet against Hirota, which I think is why Hirota is a favorite here. But I also just don't know that Hirota is going to threaten her enough that she's going to have to worry about it. So give me Miura, slight dog here, but I think definitely worth it.
All right. We shall take any kind of dogs you can offer. So very good. All right. Here's a fight with a gentleman you may recognize the name of. It's a lightweight fight with Gary. Two of them. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Gary Tonin, Martin Nguyen. They are both household names. Nguyen. Nguyen. He's from Australia.
It's Nguyen. Win.
It's not like, win.
It's lightly W-I-N. Say the end.
Yeah. No, you lightly say the end of the starting gun.
Okay.
Oh, people are gonna get at it.
Let me know if I'm wrong, but I'm fairly certain there's a guy in the UFC who goes just by Wynn, Stephen Wynn.
That's true. Yes, this is not Stephen Wynn. This is Martin Wynn. He's fighting Gary Tonin, the Situ Assassin, Asian, not assassin. Situ Asian is Wynn's nickname. 15-6, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions, but knocked out 3 times, submitted once. 12-6-1 championship. He was the champ at 2 different weight classes. Lightweight and featherweight. That was in the past, though, so he did used to fight at featherweight. He's won 2 of his last 3 and 2 of his last 5. Did win his last fight, was a regional champion, 2012 pro MMA debut. Inch reach on Tonin, +163. Gary Tonin, the Lion Killer, 8-1, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once, 4-1 in 1 championship. He's won 2 straight, both via submission. Shock. Used to fight at welterweight, multiple time world champion in grappling. 2 years younger than Wynn, 2 inches taller, -225. A lot of twos there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going Gary Tonin here. I just don't think Wynn could stay off the mat with him, right? Like, because that's the question right here, right? Gary Tonin is perpetually going to be the guy where you're like, can you stay on the feet long enough to knock him out? Because if you spend any amount of time with this dude on the ground, this is a different level of grappling, right? We're not just talking about somebody who won Pan Ams, or we're not talking about somebody who has, you know, a few Naga belts on their shelf, or, you know, we're not talking about somebody who just barely won some things. This is one of the very best grapplers in the world. And you know, we've seen it with everything except, was it Thon Lee who blasted him in 1FC?
Yeah, I think so.
Like anybody but Thon Lee, who is, by the way, a devastating striker. Everybody but him has just succumbed to Gary Tonin's incredible grappling. And I like Martin Wynn. I think he's, you know, he had a fun run in the UFC. He had some really fun fights in there. He's just going to wind up on the ground once here, and that's all it's going to take. And Gary Tonin's going to rip his leg off. So yeah, give me Gary Tonin here.
All right. Gary Tonin is the pick. All right. We're going to our last MMA fight. It's third from the top. A couple of names you probably know as well. 3 5-minute rounds at welterweight, Shinya Aoki versus Sage Northcutt. Who would thought these two would fight, but here we go. Aoki. Huh?
It's weird.
It is weird. Oh, Aoki, nicknamed Toboken Judan. Do you know what that means, Gumby?
I do not know.
The grandmaster of flying submissions, obviously.
All right.
Japanese language is so much better than ours, right? They can just say Toboken Judan,
pretty,
and that's it.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they don't have to say the whole thing I just said. He's also the Baka survivor. Baka means crazy, foolish, or stupid. So
okay,
take that for what it is. Aoki is 47-11 with 1 no contest. So that's 59 fights. He makes Andrei Arlovski look like a rookie still, right?
Seems to. Nah.
Yep. 4 knockouts, 30 submissions. He's been knocked out 9 times. Pretty durable, really, considering. 12-5-1 championship. He's lost 2 straight. Before that, he won 4 straight. Both of his most recent losses have come via TKO. He's not fought since November 2022. He's not won since April 2021. Used to be the champion, in one at lightweight. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Playoffs is your code for 15% off. Get the MMA Gambling Podcast merch. Used to fight featherweight, lightweight and middleweight. 4-0 in Pride. Pride FC, never die. 2003 was his pro MMA debut. He's a multi-time grappling champion, plus 163. Super Sage Northcutt. 12-3, 5 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. He owes his rounds in that aspect. 1-1 in one championship. 4-1 over his last 5, including winning his last fight via submission. He went 6-2 in the UFC. He's fought at lightweight and middleweight. 2014 pro MMA debut. 13 years younger than Aoki. An inch taller, an inch of reach. Minus 225.
So I'm going to go with Sage Northcutt here. Pretty much for the exact opposite reason I went with Gary Tonin, right? I was like, Gary Tonin's going to wind up on the ground with Martin Wynn at some point in time. He's going to rip his leg off. I think the same thing here, except for Aoki's never going to get it to the mat. He's not as good of a grappler. He's slower at this current age. You mentioned not a ton of losses by KO in his career, but the last two have. He hasn't won in 3 years. He's clearly getting old. Like, this is their chance to try to prop Sage Northcutt up again. Pretty much it seems like both the UFC and ONE FC have tried and failed multiple times. But, like, this is a good fight for him because, you know, say what you want about Sage Northcutt and the fact that, you know, he didn't survive Brian Barberena or whatever, you know, knock you want to put on him. He's strong as hell, and he's a great striker. If he's got issues with grappling, that may be true, but Shinya Aoki is not just this like big, strong wrestler. Like he's not even Brian Barberena when it comes to offensive grappling, right? Like he's not the type of guy who is going to take down and neutralize Sage Northcutt. Now, that being said, I saw that this Sage Northcutt line has been creeping up. If this continues to creep up, even at negative 225, I don't love it here because you could see Aoki come in with like a freaking Imanari roll and hit something and
a flying submission.
Yeah. Flying triangle. but yeah, like an Imanari roll or something like that to get in on the legs. I totally could see that against Sage Northcutt. I am going to pick Sage because I don't think this fight makes it to the ground, but also as that number creeps up, like, do you really want like negative 300 money in on Sage Northcutt at this point? I don't. So like, play with caution, but I'm going to go Sage Northcutt.
I'm getting hungry. I could use an Imanari roll right now, right? For dinner, it would be delicious. Don't you think?
Does sound like a pizza sushi.
No. Yeah, maybe. That would not be good. Do we usually get props for one?
I think it depends on the event. I think being that there's no UFC this weekend, you might find books that get desperate enough. If you wanted to play both sides of this one and you could find Northcutt KO, Aoki submission, you know, just basically play Aoki submission just to like, you know, double back and protect your investment. Maybe not the worst thing. I don't think it's going to a decision. If you find an under, maybe an under is the way to play it.
Why not Northcutt via TKO? You think that is the other play?
You could play that too, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's give you a recap of what we got or what Gumby gave you, and then we shall get out of here. He has got Northcutt. He's got Tonin. He has the underdog in Miura. Excuse me if I'm butchering your name. I'm sure you're listening. He's got Kingad. I'm sure I'm butchering that. Masunyane, which is, I enjoy saying that name. He's got Masunyane, and he's got another tiny, tiny dog, basically pick him in Ballart. Right?
That's right.
All right. There we go. Biggest promotion in the world. Make sure you check that out when it happens. Get in the Discord and chat with us. sportsgummypodcast.com/discord. Twitter SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that. He's at Gumby Real, and I'm at Jeff Fox Writer on there and Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. MMA Gambling Podcast on YouTube is what it would be called. At the very least, subscribe if you want to watch even better. MoneyMMA.substack.com, my Substack. You can get all my writings, all my stat stuff I do, my pick'em contest, all that fun stuff is there for you. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA Podcast. If you haven't listened to it this week yet, Bruna Brazil with Kyle Bahio being the translator for her. And he's got Blake Builder, not Blake the Builder, even though it should be. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. They're the three places you need to go. We're going to be back. What are we going to do Sunday? Recap everything? What do you think?
I think there's a regional promotion or two. We can hit Sunday or Monday. Yeah. We can get back on the Sunday and Monday regionals.
More winging picks. Gumby wants
you're gonna, to you got to keep giving them.
You do. All right. Say goodbye to the folks then, Gumby.
All right, I'm Danny Gubby Freeland. He's Jeff Bad Bones Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.